today on the Beginner Photography Podcast.
Look, there's always going to be somebody who seems like they're more talented than you. There's always going to be somebody who seems like they're not as experienced as you. But, like, whatever way that you're walking in life, you're only walking straight forward towards your goal. You're never going to – there always will be people sandwiched between you. And so you can't focus to the right or to the left.
Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast with Raymond Hatfield. The podcast dedicated to interviewing world-class photographers to ask them the questions you want answered. Whether you want to be the world's best wedding photographer, family photographer, pet photographer, or you just want to take better photos of your kids growing up, we will get you to start taking better photos today. Here with you as always, husband, father, home brewer, LA Dodgers fan, and award-winning Indianapolis wedding photographer, Raymond Hatfield.
Hey guys, thank you so much for joining me this week on the Beginner Photography Podcast. We got one that I think that you're going to enjoy. There's a lot of great information in here. It is also, I did like an air drum roll right there, but I realized that if you're just listening, there was no audio of that. So that's what that short little pause was right there. It is also time for another review on iTunes. This is a great one. This one comes from iTunes user Solo MJ. This is cool. His 5-star review says, "Great podcast, bro." He said, I love this podcast because I'm about to begin my career in photography. For the last few years, I've just been taking photos and videos with my iPhone, but I want to dive into it because it's like writing poetry, but with your eyes. I really like that analogy. I wanted to thank you for all the information and the interviews that you do. That was directed right towards me. Jeez. I've been listening for a few weeks, and your podcast is by far my fave. Thanks so much, dude. MJ, wherever you are, man, thank you so much for listening, and I'm glad that you're really getting some info and value out of this podcast that you will hopefully be able to implement into your business when you decide to start that. So I just want to thank you again. You know, reviews really do help the podcast get discovered by more listeners just like yourself. The more listeners we have, the more resources we have to be able to put out more great information, more content, and more courses as well that's going to be able to help you, as well as be able to attract more larger guests. We've had some incredible guests in here, arguably some of the best in the world. But for some reason, some others still want a larger podcast to come on the show. I understand if they're busy. So if you would leave a rating for the show on iTunes, it would truly mean the world to me. It only takes a minute of your time. Just be 100% honest. If it's not a 5-star show, don't leave 5 stars. Tell me exactly what you think about the show, and tell me if there's anything that I could be doing to make the show better for you. So that is it. I wanted to say that we're about to get into this interview, but I have a fun announcement actually at the end of the interview, so go ahead and stick around till the end to hear that. I think that you are going to want to get involved. That's all that I'm going to say. So anyway, stick around till after the interview. Right now, we are going to go ahead and get on into this. This interview is with Jessica Whittaker, who is a, I found her on YouTube, which you'll hear me explain in the show, but she has so many tutorials teaching photographers great things like I was just watching one video recently where she set up like a follow-up system for her leads that come in, which I thought it was just really smart, and it was like a free way of doing it that she figured out herself, and I think that's smart. A lot of times as photographers, we kind of look for ways to spend money, and she just does a lot of action things that are free, which is great if you're just getting started. So you're going to want to check out her YouTube channel. So that's it. We're going to go ahead and get on into this interview right now with Jessica Whittaker. I found today's guest on YouTube a few months ago when she posted a video called 3 Posing Tips to Improve Your Photography. Her passion for working with people and being behind the camera was just completely contagious. So, and since then, I've binged on so many videos of hers. And today, I'm really excited to be talking with Jessica Whittaker. So, Jessica, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's funny because I obviously mentioned that I've watched a lot of your videos because you do have a lot of behind-the-scenes videos. You do a lot of tutorial videos.
Yeah.
pretty much everything that I haven't seen is all like makeup tutorials and stuff like that. But everything else has been like totally gold, and I've really enjoyed watching it. So again, I'm really excited to have you on the podcast today. But one thing that you don't really cover a lot of, at least I haven't seen, is kind of how you fell in love with photography, like where it all started from the beginning to get to where you are now.
Yeah, so I started photography, I think I was 14 or so. So if I did the math, I think that's like 8 years ago. I don't know. When I was like 14, back in the MySpace days, cameras were just becoming accessible, at least to my knowledge. You know, maybe they were being sold at Costco since 1301. But to me, all of my friends started to use either like their parents' cameras or get like one of those brightly colored lime green point and shoots from, you know, Best Buy, Costco. And I used my mom's like Canon PowerShot. The screen was like half an inch big. And I just started posting in the albums on MySpace. And then that only lasted like 6 months because I was on the really tail end of MySpace. And then it on Facebook, So then on Facebook pages, you can like make your own like Jessica Whitaker photography page. A lot of my friends did that because, you know, we're like 14, just girly things, sharing in albums. And a lot of my friends, like I was good at it. And so they were like modeling for me a lot. And I mean, what like 14-year-old isn't into that, you know, it's just so much fun. And so the first shoot that I remember doing is in the house I grew up in, and we had like this super long and narrow bathroom that was just so terrible. It had like carpet in it and like teal tile. It was so ugly, but like the best way possible. And we would, you know, flip over this like aquatic scene teal shower curtain to show the white lining of the shower curtain, and we would use that as like our seamless white paper, and you kind of see like the fish through the white paper, and I'd be like, oh, well, we can just like edit it later. Yeah, I don't know how to edit though. So like then my light source, we turn the lights off in the bathroom and use a lamp, like a floor lamp, to be the light source. So did that with two of my friends, and like my aunt was downstairs, their mom was downstairs, my mom was downstairs, and like we were showing them the photos, and they were like, oh, these are great, whatever. And ever since then, really spoke a lot of life into me for photography. My mom was a creative director and like still is super, she's so gifted with anything with art, but especially visuals. So she really encouraged me and steered me in the right direction, just in terms of like, I mean, she was not a photographer. She dabbled in photography, but because she directed artists like every single day for years and years, she was able to like tell me like, okay, when you're shooting a photo, like be careful, don't like crop somebody's elbow off, like right underneath it, like go above, whatever. She taught me like how to lay out photos, you know, when I post on Twitter or even the Build and Bloom Facebook group, which we talk about that.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So like on Build and Bloom, you know, you post two photos side by side, we'll have the one photo where the model is looking to the left on the up on the left, so it looks like she's like, I learned a lot of those skills from her. And then I learned a lot from a online form called beginnerphotographyschool.com or like digitalphotographyschool.com. And two women in my church who were professional photographers, one did more stock photography work, which was interesting. And I don't think that's as common nowadays. I could be wrong though. And then the other did wedding photography, and they really spent a lot of time with me every weekend after service, pouring into me, educating me. And I feel like I got this really, I was just blessed to have people who spoke life into me. And I know that not everybody has that. Especially in regards to art, or, you know, photography specifically. Sure. And so I really wanted to bring that at an extremely elevated, on an elevated level where everybody could get access. Because the thing is with photography, yes, gear can be expensive, but at the same time, the skills, that you can learn from it, like they should be free, you know? And even as far to say, with our free photography workshops we put on through Build and Bloom, we want to make sure that everything is accessible to everyone, because I didn't patent my own ideas. Like, yes, I'm known for ideas that I have kind of blossomed in my mind, like these lens distortion effects, but I don't own the knowledge for how I got into photography. Mm-hmm. Like those girls at my church taught me, and like, you know, stuff like that. So that was a really long tail winded answer, I guess. But I started really young, and I'm happy I started young, but you don't have to start young. With the internet now, if you start now, that's the prime time. If you start in a year, okay, you should start earlier than a year. But if you start a year, you're going to have even more resources. You know what I mean? So I don't think that anyone has a disadvantage if they start when they're 30 or 13.
Right, right. I love that. I kind of wanted, you did go a lot of directions there, so I had a few follow-up questions.
When
you were doing that photo shoot, no, that's totally fine. When you were doing that photo shoot in this huge bathroom of yours, were you still using that that PowerShot camera?
Yeah, I used it for, my family was so poor growing up, mad poor. And so I think I used that for a couple years, and then I got a... It was, I don't know, it was like a Nikon Coolpix something. It was like between a point and shoot and a DSLR. It would almost be like if the Canon M05, I don't know. Yeah, it was between them. And I know like a lot of my family members, like extended family, also contributed to me being able to buy that camera. And then I had that camera for, I think, about a year. And then I saved up my own money this whole time to buy a DSLR Nikon from Costco with the kit lens. It was so good. So I love Nikon.
So that's really interesting because now you shoot on Canon, right? Now, this isn't supposed to be like all gear, but why the switch?
I got a really good deal on the Mark II and fell in love with Mark II. And then I had the Mark II, I think, for 5 years, for a long, long, long time. Didn't really ever care to upgrade. I barely ever upgrade my lenses. I actually just bought a new lens, but like that's so out of the norm. I had to ask like 40 people if it was okay and all this stuff. And so I shot on that forever. And then once I wanted to get a camera that did video quality better, because I started traveling more and being more interested in like videography, but more for my own personal self. And with YouTube videos too, I just wanted to autofocus. Mark IV was the easy answer because I'm not super tech savvy. So I was like, I'll just upgrade.
Yeah, I totally get it. You know, oftentimes, like when you find that deal, it just makes sense to just go that route. I'm interested though to know, because it sounds like your education in photography was pretty much self-taught and then through like the guidance of others close to you.
Yeah, like mentoring almost.
Right, right. What was the hardest part of photography for you to like really grasp? Are you ready to transform your love for photography into profit? Imagine capturing beautiful moments while bringing in a little extra money for your family each month. Sound too good to be true? With CloudSpot, it's not just a dream. Designed by photographers for photographers, CloudSpot simplifies your business. Effortlessly organize shoots, send professional contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and enjoy faster payment payouts with the lowest fees in the industry, including PayPal. Forget lost emails and messy spreadsheets. CloudSpot offers a streamlined workflow, letting you focus on the moment. And here is the clincher. Grab your free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com and you'll get access to my personal wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires. So don't let uncertainty hold you back. Embrace the future of photography business management with CloudSpot Studio. Sign up at deliverphotos.com today and transform your passion into profit.
Okay. I would say not so much the technical aspects, the camera, the gear, the composition. I would personally say the biggest learning curve was when it comes to working with clients and different situations, different people. Are they a couple? Is it a family? Is it a senior? But the senior portrait, you know, a high schooler, it's also the mom. It was just a lot of different dynamics and a lot of different kinds of people, a lot of kind of different kinds of shoots. And I was able to learn what I didn't really love shooting in particular. Like, I don't do a lot of family sessions. I don't do maternity shoots that much. I don't do, I've never done a newborn shoot that I know of. So I kind of can get an idea for what I like, but I don't like so much. Like, I still book family sessions. I just booked one, but I don't advertise it. So yeah, I would say just the clients within the first, when I first started booking people.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Sorry. I don't know how to make answers short.
That's fine. That was a great answer. I want to know about your first, unknown paid client. I want to know how did you book them? Were you nervous? And how did it turn out?
Yeah, so the one that I can remember, I can't remember, like, everything is super in detail because it was so long ago, but I know that it was with, the whole family was, like, our family's friend. And the two girls that I had been photographing for, like, a year or so, they were the first, like, models I ever worked with back in the bathroom days. You know, it was only, like, a year and a half later. But the mom was just, like, she was very encouraging in photography. She is an artist as well. Growing up in Seattle, too, I guess you do have, like, an advantage when it comes to art and, like, culture, because Seattle is very artistic, and a lot of the people there are. And so she just asked me if I would do their family portraits, and they are a family of four girls. So it was pretty easy to do because they were my friends and they were girls, mm-hmm. and that's all I had known about posing, you know? And what was the other part of the question?
Really, I just kind of wanted to know, you just talked about how you weren't that nervous, but how well did it turn out? Did they enjoy the photos? Were you happy with the photos?
Yeah, they liked the photos. I didn't love them, though. I really didn't. I didn't like the location, and that's where it was, in their backyard, which their yard was beautiful, but it wasn't the vibe, you know? And so that's when I also learned, okay, location really does matter a lot. It's almost, to me, it matters more than the lighting in some situations. So, yeah, I think I got paid, like, $75 from them for that, which was huge, especially since I was, like, 2 years old.
Sure. Sure. No, I get that. You touched on growing up in Portland, and I know that you recently moved from the Pacific Northwest to New York City. Was it last year? Maybe a little more than that?
Yeah, so I grew up in Seattle, which is basically the same
thing. Oh, Seattle, I'm sorry, I said Portland.
No, it's okay. And Portland's, like, the cooler, younger sibling, so, like, I love Jewish. No, so I moved from Seattle, Washington to New York City in 2014 when I was 19 years old to go to school, where I attended for a full school year.
Oh.
So I went to the Fashion Institute of Technology for apparel design, and I had gone to trade school for fashion merchandising 2 years in high school, my junior and senior year. Went to FIT, was like, not into this, which is totally great, because then I moved back to Seattle, super sad about it though, didn't want to leave New York, but I knew God had a plan for me. I was like, okay, I'm gonna chill, I know I'm gonna return. So finished up my degree, and I would just like Silbo book shoots around Bellevue and stuff like that. That's the city outside of Seattle. And then I came back here.
So I kind of want to know, how was the transition between, obviously you had been known in your hometown in Seattle. What was it like moving to New York and kind of having to start all over?
Well, okay, so that's a really good question. So when I was in Seattle, I had, and this is like all in, or I don't know if hindsight is the right word. I should stop using my vocabulary, I don't know. When I was in Seattle, I had top, like, cream of the crop for models, not because I'm, like, this amazing photographer. It was just because, like, models need photos, and there are a lot of unsigned models in Seattle, amateur models, just, like, girls who are pretty, but they might not even want to be signed, or, you know what I mean, or professional. And so girls at my church, and it was easy with clients. My client demographic was fine, but I book way more clients in New York because I found people don't want to invest in professional photography in Seattle unless it is something like senior portraits or weddings, engagements. That's from my personal experience, and people probably drag me for that. But to be honest, I book so many more bloggers here. I book a lot more, like, a lot of photographers will hire me to do their, like, website branding, like, that kind of more, a little bit more creative. So the client base is just different, and it wasn't hard to transition for me because I already have built up a presence and traction on social media, mm-hmm. and because I lived here a year before, or 2 years before, whatever, it was easy, and I knew I was coming back, so I already started marking myself as if I was, like, not in New York per se, but I knew I wanted to have a reach greater than Seattle, so I interact with people who are outside of Seattle. I love engagements and senior portraits. I also love bloggers and professional, like, I love a little bit more of that creative. And so in New York, there's just a bigger pool for that, where in Seattle, I found it was a little bit more limited, which was fine, but now I can thrive. You know what I mean?
No, that totally makes sense. And it's something that I wasn't expecting that answer, but it 100% makes sense that there's more obviously creative professionals in New York who need more professional photos. I know that on your YouTube channel, you post a lot of behind-the-scenes videos of you at portrait sessions and posing and interacting with couples and models. What is something that you are surprised by, maybe by reading, like, in the comments, like, by other viewers? Is there anything that they say that surprises you?
Okay, so yes, people were really, really happily surprised to see that I was so interactive with my clients and I hyped them up so much, get super excited with them, and make the client more comfortable. And I got a lot of comments, it's like 50-50, they'd be like, I'm like that too with my clients, like, I'm glad that this is, like, okay, basically, and that I'm not the only one and stuff. And then other people were like, wait, like, something clicked in them and they're like, yeah, I should be extra encouraging and stuff with my clients. Because here's the thing, like, I don't write my client emails like this is an MLA formatted essay. Like, you know, I write my client emails, not how I speak. I still write professionally and stuff, but I still do all my branding stuff. And then, so when I meet up with them on the shoot, they're not expecting me to, like, curtsy for them. And so then it just makes the whole setting overall for everything. And of course, they 90% of the time have seen me interact on Instagram and YouTube. That's where so many of my clients do come from, is social media, because that's where I market myself. But they are feel like that they know me and that they have this relationship built up with me. And so it would be weird if I just showed up, shoot, if I had a social media built up or not, and I was just, like, dead silent. Like, what? That sounds so boring and low-key uncomfortable, and I'm super awkward. And my pastor always told me, because I would be like, I can't be extra, I can't be myself, I can't, da-da-da. And he's like, okay, you have to think about it like this in any situation. If you are the most, like, if you are you and you know that you are the most awkward person in the room or the most excited person, like, all this stuff, then that leaves everybody else so much more room to be themselves, and it relieves them. And they know, okay, well, at least I'm not as, like, crazy as Jessica. And my clients don't think I'm crazy. They love it. They love it. So I would encourage other people to, like, hype them up. That they're literally paying you to have a good, like, to have beautiful images, but if they can pay you to have a good time too, that's just going to bring more clients to you as well, because that's a good recommendation.
Hey, Raymond here. We'll get back to the show in just a moment, but let me ask you, do you want to take images that stand out? Images that make people say, oh wow, that is beautiful, I want them to photograph me? Or do you want people to take advantage of you, asking you to shoot for free simply because, well, they know that you have a camera? I think the answer is pretty obvious here. You want others to love what you do. So why are you not valuing yourself by not charging for your work? Let me show you how to earn your first $100 in photography and build your confidence absolutely free with my step-by-step guide that you can download over at firstphotoclient.com. Don't get stuck in the friend with a camera zone, and don't miss out on another dollar. Download your free step-by-step guide over at firstphotoclient.com. Now, let's get back to today's interview. Yeah, that's a great tip, and that's something that I thought was very refreshing when watching your videos. You know, and because I'm not, I try to do the same thing. I try to encourage my couples and try to make the experience fun. But if I were to do you, I would just be, it would be so awkward because that's not who I am. You know what I mean?
Right. And to you have watch to somebody, stay true to yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to stay true to yourself, but you also need to be a more I don't know you, I don't know the people listening, but just be a little bit more encouraging version of yourself if you were in their shoes, where most of the time your clients, if it's a senior portrait, that's probably the first time they've ever had professional photos done. Yeah. If it's engagement, it's the first time since their senior portraits, you know what I mean? So just think, okay, if I was in their shoes and I was feeling uncomfortable about this, what would I want? I'd want to be told that I was doing a good job, encouraged. You don't have to be as extra as me, but I think that online, when I put out the level of excitement I put for my clients, then those people watching, kind of going back to the most awkward person in the room thing, they can be like, okay, well, I can be at least a little bit more that because Jessica is this. And obviously there's a time and place though, but I don't do like I'm not in a studio, you know, or with an agency or something like that, time and place. But for my clients, engagement, senior portraits, bloggers, all the, especially bloggers, they love it. So as long as it's appropriate, go for it.
Yeah, for sure. What's something that you think, that perhaps you get asked the most about photography? You teach a lot of photography. You have to get a lot of questions. What questions do you get the most?
How to make your clients feel comfortable. And that kind of goes back to just encouraging them. And then also how to feel confident, like in your own work. I get questions about gear and stuff, but I get mostly questions about how can I be confident in my work? How do I deal with comparison? All of this stuff. And
well, what do you say to that?
Yeah. So when it comes to comparison, I made a whole video on it. I personally think, to sum it up, it's like, look, there's always going to be somebody who seems like they're more talented than you. There's always going to be somebody who seems like they're not as experienced as you. But like, whatever way that you're walking in life, you're only walking straight forward towards your goal. You're never going to, there always will be people sandwiched between you. And so you can't focus to the right or to the left. You know what I mean? And so the same thing can kind of apply with social media, where then, you know, you're already like, oh no, is this shot even like good? Like, am I doing great? Whatever. And then you post it to Instagram, and then you have people on top and on bottom who, you know, you're literally constantly being compared, whether it is like a bridal shot, maybe somebody else has something similar. I compare it, the easiest way is like a selfie. Like, your selfie is right on top of somebody else's and all this stuff. But you really cannot focus on that, because that's just, that's your mind trying to throw you off and stuff. And so, I always say, if you're struggling way too much to a point where it's literally making you sad, just unfollow people. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal. I literally unfollow people like all the time. I'm addicted to it. I'm just kidding. I don't love it. But like, I try to detach myself from social media in the sense that I don't have it on my phone. Like, I don't have the app. I download it for when I have to post, or maybe it's a work day where it's a build and bloom workshop. Okay, I have to have it on my phone. But eliminating like social media in the sense of it being so personal is like healthy, and creating boundaries. Because a lot of people who ask, how can I be confident? How do I deal with comparison? It mostly all stems from social media. You know, because that's where people are posting their work. Sure. And I think social media is the most amazing tool. It's so great. I use it for my clients. I use it to build my nonprofit. Like, I love it. But at the same time, it can be, when used wrong, just like with anything, you know, it can be unhealthy, especially for a lot of the people who are asking, who are mostly like kids and teenagers.
Yeah, of course, of course. What are some tips that you have when it comes to, like I said, you got a lot of videos online. What are some tips that you have for like basic posing for like an engagement couple? You know, that's one thing that I hear from a lot of listeners, is that posing is very hard for them. What are your go-to setups?
Yeah, so the first tip I always start out with, especially if I've never met the couple before, worked with them before, I have them start out by like sitting always. You know, it's less limbs for them to have to worry about. When I'm just standing on the street going to work or something, I'm like, oh, my hands are falling off, or you know what I mean? Like, I'm hyper aware. So I know that that's how they feel on a shoot. Maybe not, that could be just strange. But I start them out by sitting. I feel like with couples, it's easy because after, you know, 20 shots, they're signed with an agency of their own. Like, they're amazing. He's in GQ, and suddenly she's on the cover of Vogue. And so they become really comfortable because they're interacting with each other. And so after whatever they sit, I'll do, you know, some of those like classic, the Facebook moms want to see them smiling at the camera with the Brooklyn Bridge in the background, like, ee. And I always say that. I give them that commentary. I'm like, okay, now we're going to do that photo for Facebook moms out there. You know what I mean? And they're like, ha ha ha. So then, you know, you have to get them laughing. And don't worry about your jokes being funny. Like, if they don't, if they're like not funny, you're just like, I don't know how to joke. Like, that's hella funny already. You know what I mean? So interact with them. That will loosen up posing. And then I do photos where I love to have them walk. I love walking shots. It looks really candid. And so they just hold hands and walk. And I'm like, okay, hold hands and look at me. Walk back. Look over your shoulder while you're walking back. Okay, hold hands. Girl, look at camera. Guy, look at girl. Look at girl. Walk towards me. Okay, now both look at each other. And that alone is like 10 shots. I mean, I overshoot and over-deliver, but, you know, you have like 20, you have a lot of options because you can shoot vertical, horizontal, whatever. And then the last few poses, the last, like, more complicated poses, I save that for last when they're super warmed up. So that's a lot of, like, close-ups. That's a lot of, like, arms and hands. But I have a lot of videos. I think I even have a video called, like, 40 poses for couples. So it's all on my YouTube. But those are my, like, go-to ones. Definitely the walking shots. They're good.
For anybody who's just getting started in photography, yeah, and they're like really excited, they got that passion, right? They watch your videos, yeah, and they're like, we are like, this is my spirit animal right here, right? They have, yeah, that drive. Yeah. What advice would you give them? Like, they don't have the experience, but they want to get better. What advice would you give them?
I would say, in your hometown or the closest city to you, Google some of your favorite photographers who live there. They don't have to be your favorite photographers of all time. Like, chances are your favorite photographer lives in Berlin, Germany. But Google them and reach out and ask if you can job shadow them. Use the word job shadow. Don't say intern. Don't say assist. Sometimes people think assist automatically. It's like, you're on my payroll. Don't say intern because that's like could be too much of a commitment. Just say job shadow. A lot of times people will say yes if you write a professional email, low-key include your resume. There's nothing wrong with sending resumes, and examples of your work, like links. Craft it to be really professional, MLA format that, and send it their way. And I mean, even if they say, I doubt that they will say no, they might say that they don't have a need for it. But if you reach out to at least five people that you just admire in some way, whether it's the way that they post people, their editing, the way that they interact with clients, chances are they'll say, yeah, come along. Because, like, who doesn't want, I mean, their camera bag's like 20 pounds mm-hmm. heavy. So, like, offer to carry that camera bag for me around Soho. And I'm like, yeah, you can literally, I'm going to hire you right now. So, that's what I would really recommend. And just continue to learn in that way. I think hands-on learning besides photographers, even if you don't love their stuff, just still write like 20 people. That's the best way to learn and interact. It's a great way to know how you would handle a situation maybe, and like how you wouldn't, how you'd pose, how you wouldn't, whatever. But that's the best way to learn.
I love it. Have you ever had an embarrassing moment at a photo shoot that you'd be happy to share?
To be honest, my entire life is like embarrassing moment, but I'm immune to it. So I don't know, but I'm sure.
Have you ever had a moment that
they're like listing it out right now for me in a text message, drafting it to?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a moment where you clearly made a client feel uncomfortable, and how did you handle it? Hey, Raymond here, and I know that diving into the world of editing can feel like navigating a maze, especially if you're just starting out. So that's why I created our exclusive collection of 52 Lightroom presets, absolutely free. While presets can dramatically enhance your photos, they're not a one-click solution. They're a starting point for your creativity and an opportunity to learn and grow in your editing skills. These presets work seamlessly with all versions of Lightroom, whether you're on a computer or using Lightroom Mobile. And they're designed to simplify your editing process, adding that professional touch to your photos while giving you the flexibility to fine-tune them to your taste. So if you're ready to take your photos to the next level, head over to freephotographypresets.com right now and get editing today.
No, I've never made a client feel uncomfortable. I think uncomfortable is kind of an intense word. Sometimes, like, awkward. Like, for instance, I mean, one time I had a couple who didn't kiss before marriage, and I didn't know because I didn't think to ask. I should have kind of had an idea, but because I kind of like knew them, but I asked them to kiss and they were like, no. And I was like, okay, no. And that was the extent of awkward. So I don't, I haven't had any, I'm sorry. I don't have, I feel like I should have funny stories.
No. So obviously the answer in that situation was just to keep going forward.
Yeah. Forward. Oh yeah. If you have an awkward situation, or maybe you make an awkward comment on accident, let's say, okay, if you're especially like posing women, like girls, and you have to be so careful with how you word corrections for a pose. Like if somebody's hand looks awkward on that, their hip or something, don't say your hand looks like trash, you know, move, whatever. Like, so awkward. You look like trash. Don't obviously say that. Instead, just say, okay, awesome. I might actually have you slide your hand. Da-da-da-da. Just like move into the next pose. Take the photos one shot, like, and move it along. Don't say anything looks bad when you're shooting. Even if the location, let's say you go to one area and you're like, this is trash, we need to find a new area. Just take a few pics. Don't waste your time, but be like, okay, you guys, I don't think the light's right. I think we should move into the next spot, whatever it might be. I think that could definitely be like awkward or like uncomfortable, or it's more uncomfortable, I think, for the photographer in that kind of case. But yeah, that's what I would suggest to do.
Okay, cool. Tell me about Build and Bloom. Tell me more about it and how the listeners can find out about it.
Yeah, so Build and Bloom, in summary, is a free photography resource center for young photographers. We have all ages, but we know that we have a lot of teenagers who come to our workshops and stuff like that, college age. So it started as a Facebook group in October 2016, and still is a Facebook group. We actually just hit 50,000 members, so 50,000, which is so sick. And we do free in-person workshops around the nation. So we started doing free in-person workshops in February. So we did Seattle, LA, New York City. We have Dallas and Houston, Texas coming up this month. And then we actually have talk with one of our partners on adding three more cities, which is really cool. Low-key Chicago and Boston. So that'd be sick. And then some other places as well. So Build and Bloom for me started because I believe, and everyone on my team believes, that there's a spot for everyone on the table, but sometimes it's hard to find a seat, you know. I realize that photography is number one, super serious. Up until like I really started making Build and Bloom, I felt like in other spaces I couldn't write in all caps. And okay, obviously you might be like, well yeah, that's like grammatically incorrect, but like go on Twitter and everyone writes in all caps. Like, don't take it so seriously. Like, it should be fun. Obviously take your client work seriously, but if you're posting on Facebook, like, let's just chill, you know, let's have some fun. So I wanted to create a space for that. So starting October 2016, now we do the free photography workshops. We also do like volunteer service projects locally in New York City, because again, we want to serve a greater purpose than just ourselves. I mean, that's why we serve and do all of these volunteer workshops and organizations. We have Sister Sister, which is a monthly meetup group for girls interested in media art. So that could be photography, videography. It could be media marketing, could be blogging, modeling, whatever it might be. That meets in 10 cities around the nation. And we started that in March, and then in New York, and then automatically everyone was freaking out in Seattle, because Seattle's, you know, where I'm from. So I know people there, whatever. And so we brought it to Seattle. Next month, people freaking out. We brought it to Philadelphia, Houston, Texas, Portland, Oregon, Atlanta, Georgia, and I feel like a couple other places in the third month, which was sick. And then everyone was like, how can I have this in my town? So we built an ambassador program. So I just love serving people and reminding people that photography should still be fun. It's an awesome medium because it's still art and it can equip people with actual job skills. It's kind of like in the music industry. People, you know, you want to be a musician, whatever, you want to work in music, but your parents are like, you're going to be a singer, what do you mean? But there's so many more jobs within the music industry than just being on stage.
Of course.
Same thing with photography. So at these workshops, we teach those skills. So it's myself and then my best friend, I love him so much, Stuart Clements. He teaches with me, and he's really been along for the long haul with Build and Bloom ever since we met this time last year. 2 weeks later, decided to run a business together, and that was that business literally is so great. And that was Build and Bloom and putting workshops into action. So it's so awesome. God's so faithful. And I just remember when we were at the LA workshop, that was, it was me, Stuart, Jenny, and then Paola, who's also on our team. And it was so surreal. And I was like, this is sick. There's a need. It's just, it's so simple to me though, because the need, the simple human need for community is just so like, yeah, like, duh, you know what I mean? So people are like, how did you grow and all this stuff? It's just because I served an area that people weren't serving in this way. And so I just think if you have, you know, the a pure heart for just encouraging people, supporting people, giving, like, my cup is never going to run dry. And I talk about this at Build and Bloom. So whenever you as a photographer, you know, somebody comes to you, or maybe you're listening to this and you're the person who's getting hit up with other young photographers who want to job shadow you, just because you give out to people, your cup will never run dry. This is coming from somebody who gives until literally, I'm working on Build and Bloom until 10 p.m. at night, 12 p.m. at night. One time, Stu and I were working at 4 a.m. on stuff, but I'm always going to be motivated. My business always is going to be blessed because I'm just willing to serve people. So that's Build and Bloom. I love it. I'm excited. We have some, I hate the word big things coming, but we have some really exciting things happening in the future. We're trying to do an in-person space that's like permanent here in New York City. It's a good time. But yeah, I love Build and Bloom. So if you're listening, go check us out on Facebook and see if we're going to be in a rally in your area at the free photography workshop. If you're in Seattle and LA, we're doing a 2-day workshop called Summit in September. We have dates for that, end of September. And then Sister Sister too. There's so many resources and ways to get involved both online and offline.
Cool. I love that. That was so much. It sounds like, you can hear the enthusiasm that you have in your voice.
Yeah, I love
the drive that you have for everything that you're building. And I'm so excited to see what the future holds.
Me too. It's going to be bright.
Yeah.
And this is just the start. You know, the best is yet to come. And I tell my team that every single workshop, like, it's so sick. I love it. Like, it's a good time.
Well, why don't we now know how to find Build and Bloom? Why don't you tell the listeners how they can find out more about you and follow you online?
Yeah. So if you just like Google Jessica Whitaker, and you can like search, okay, I have Instagram at Jessica Whitaker and then YouTube is Jessica Whitaker. But if you just search it, my website will pop up and my website has my galleries. It has more like the photography videos. Twitter is a good time too. That's where I post a lot. If you're like on Instagram, you're like, I don't care about your selfies. First off, excuse me. But second, I post a lot of photography over on Twitter. So will that be in the show notes?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I will put links to that in the show notes as well. So my last question for you before I let you go, you've been very gracious with your time. I know obviously how busy you are. Do you have a favorite video of yours that you have created, or is there one that, that gets the best feedback?
Yes, I would say 10 tips other photographers won't tell you. I think that's how it's titled. It's my first ever photography video. It was like my friend Peter had texted me, and we weren't friends at the time. We were just like chilling on Facebook, and he asked if he could job shadow me. And then I was like, yeah, so definitely still, you know, DM whatever your favorite photographers and ask them. So then it was him and then this other girl, and now we're like friends and stuff, and so much fun. And I was like, hey, let's record this, because at the time my YouTube was just like, I don't even know. It was like me thinking that I was like good with clothes or something. And so the video did really, really well, and I'm really happy it did, but that video has a lot of good tips. Yes, I'm holding the camera technically incorrect in it, but like that's how I hold my camera. It gets the most praise and the most hate, so it's a good time in the comments always. I love it.
Perfect. Jessica, thank you so much for coming on and sharing everything that you did and lending us your time. So thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
I don't know about you, but I thought that that was a really fun episode interview with Jessica. She I mean, clearly her brain is running at 1,000 miles per hour. But if you can just sit there and enjoy and just like really pay attention to what she's saying, she has some great information in there. And it's truly, Jessica, if you're listening, I want to thank you for your time that you shared. You're obviously very busy building a very bright future for yourself. It's going to be so much fun to watch you and everything that that you create. So if you are interested in Jessica's progress with Build and Bloom, be sure to check out buildandbloom.co to see if one of her free educational workshops is coming to a city near you for free. I don't know why you would miss something like that. So that's it. It is time for my little fun announcement. So backstory, if you are part of the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group, which so many of you are, and I love each and every one of you. We have been doing monthly photo challenges, right? Where I post a theme in the group, like a community or a new start or various other topics. And throughout that month, you take photos in your everyday life or you create these photos that represent that theme, and then you share them in the group in this thread of photos. And then at the end of the month, I go through and I critique the photos, which is awesome, right? Because I want you to have outside eyes on your photos, for you to have a way to see how you could improve your photos for the next time, right? Well, in the group, we have a member, Carrie, who decided to do like a daily photo challenge, and I loved this idea. And you know who else loved the idea? Everybody. Everybody was challenged every single day to come up with a new idea, a theme, just a photo to upload to the group, just to get you to be more aware of the photos that you've taken. And I've heard feedback from other members like Erica, who have said that like just in the short 2 weeks, her photography's improved so much by just doing these quick daily photos. And there wasn't even like a theme to each one. It was just out of your own passion and joy. Well, unfortunately, because Facebook isn't really made for that sort of thing, it just totally clogged up the group, and just notifications were getting sent out left and right. And so we were trying to figure out how to come up with a alternative, right? Not daily, and perhaps monthly was too long for users as well. So what we have decided to do was a weekly photo challenge, and that is starting today. Okay, so what's going to happen is instead of the monthly challenges, we're going to do a weekly challenge. There's going to be a new theme every single week that is going to get you. And I've gone through these themes, these topics, and I've kind of mapped out a way to really help you progress in your photography. Right, it's not just like blue, like take a photo of something that's blue. It's really like to get you seeing something different. And now I feel stupid because there is like a theme of red, but it's for like certain times of the year. Year, right, like the holidays, right? There's a lot of red around, so it's try to fill up your frame with certain aspects of. Anyway, I want you to join, right? Like other members have said, how much just the daily challenge and how much the monthly challenge has benefited their photography. A weekly challenge should do the exact same thing. It's short enough to where you don't forget what the theme of the month was and forget to take a photo. And it's also not too much that that you feel burnt out or bad about yourself if you don't do a photo a day. So I think a weekly challenge is going to be wonderful. And we're implementing that today if you're listening to this. The day that it comes out. But it doesn't matter because if it's starting today, it's going to be happening for a long time. If you want to join, and I highly suggest that you do join in this challenge, join the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group. That's all that you got to do. So head over to Facebook and search for Beginner Photography Podcast. You'll find the group right there. You got to answer 3 questions to join. I bumped this up from 2 because I wanted to add that one extra question to make sure that you are not a robot sent from the future to come back in time to destroy this group, to potentially ruin the world or something like that. So that's it. And then once you get access to the group, you can join right away and you can start submitting your photos. That is it. I want you to join. The whole purpose of this podcast is to help you grow your knowledge of photography. But who cares if you're not going to implement it? Who cares how much you know about photography if you're not even going to take photos? all I'm asking you to do is practice what it is that you're learning. Implement what you're learning, okay? That's it. If you want to be a part of it, facebook.com, search for Beginner Photography Podcast, and we will go from there. Okay, guys, that is it for this week. I want to thank you all once again for listening. I know that this can take up quite a bit of time during the week, but again, thank you so much for your time and your attention. I truly value each and every one of you, and maybe, hopefully, one day I can meet some of you in person as well. So until next week, I want you to get out there. I want you to shoot. And since it'll be 1 week, I want you to come into the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group, and I want you to share your photos with the rest of the, I was going to say world, but it's not the world, with the rest of the very supportive group that we have over there. I want you to stay safe, and that's it, okay? I will see you next week. I love you all. See you then.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Beginner Photography Podcast. Be sure to join the conversations on Facebook and Instagram. And if you want any links or resources we talked about in today's episode, check out the show notes at beginnerphotographypodcast.com. See you again next week.